대한민국 정부 성명 세용의 대륙간 탄도로켓 시험 발사 성공.
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors now living in South Korea and elsewhere. Given the role of North Korea in international geopolitics these days, it is important to have more than the two-dimensional impression we get from the mainstream media of this seemingly inscrutable country. I am Fran Callaher, your host. In this episode, we'll hear about whether women wear high heels in North Korea and whether they smoke or not. These questions are being addressed in the Ask a North Korean feature at nknews.org. And indeed, North Korean women do enjoy wearing high heels and have done so at least back as far as the 60s and 70s in the memory of this defector who is now living presumably in South Korea. Jaesun Lee is her name. She remembers seeing pictures of her mother in her 20s and looking gorgeous in her high heels. They have three different names for high heels, depending on the different types. There's the Dwichuk Nopun Shinbal, are literally shoes with high heels. Byojok Kudu are pointed-toed high heels. And Beitok Kudu are stilettos. So the first straight high heel shoe is a rounded-shaped shoe with heels about 2 to 3 inches. Then there are the pointed toes with high heels. And lastly, as I said, the stilettos. They were introduced in the late 1990s. At that time, they were found mostly just along the border with China, which is where they would have come from. When the writer was a third grader living in North Korea, she decided that she really wanted a pair of pointed shoes. It's not clear if these were also high heels, but in third grade, they wouldn't have been too high, I expect. And she threw a tantrum and said, "I refuse to go to school until you buy a pair of pointed shoes for me." Her mother finally relented, and she got them, and she wore them, and she said they were so pretty to look at, but it was painful to walk in them. Even though it hurt so much to walk in the pointed shoes, she always wore them to school, and all of her friends wore them as well. She wore them almost every day for ages. Then in middle school, the Mongshin became popular with teenagers. Those are shoes that are heart-shaped at the front, and up to 8 times more expensive than other shoes made in North Korea. But just like youth here, that's what they had their eye on and that's what they wanted. It was about 2006 or 7 that stiletto heels started to gain popularity beyond just the area adjacent to the Chinese border. And that was largely because of the influence of South Korean dramas. By this time, South Korean media is making its way into North Korea, smuggled across the Chinese border. And exposure to South Korean dramas especially has changed a lot of things in North Korea, much to the consternation of the leadership. Again, the author of this article was very attracted to the high heels and told her mother that she absolutely wanted some. But her mother insisted in this case that she wait until she graduate from high school. So she anxiously awaited graduation for both makeup and high heels. Then quoting here, "Right after graduation, I finally bought a pair of heels that were 12 centimeters tall." That would be almost 5 inches tall. "But I immediately regretted it. Roads are not well paved in North Korea, and you have to walk everywhere. It was torture to walk in them. But I had spent so much money on them, I couldn't just throw them away. It broke my heart to see my high heels collecting dust in the house." Moving on to the subject of women smoking in North Korea. This is by the same author, Jaesun Lee, and she apparently left North Korea in 2012, and she says she doesn't know how much things might have changed since then. But at that time, people were quite tolerant of older women smoking, and older people in general, of course, and it would be considered quite rude to criticize the smoking habits of any older people. A lot of people smoke in Korea. Cigarettes are much cheaper than liquor. There's kind of an interesting hierarchy around smoking that doesn't exist with drinking in North Korean society. She writes that people share drinks with everyone, and there's no hierarchy about alcohol, but it certainly exists when it comes to smoking. It is very rude to smoke in front of your parents or anyone older than you. In North Korea's patriarchal society, old ladies may smoke in front of their daughters-in-law, daughters, or grandchildren, But grannies never smoke in front of their sons, and they don't smoke in public. But before about 2005 or so, it was inconceivable for young women to smoke in North Korea. She writes that it was actually 2008 when she first saw young female smokers. Young being actually middle-aged, she notes that at that time she saw several ajumma, which are kind of middle-aged women, smoking while drinking. And now quoting from her article, "In my teens, I began to witness my classmates begin to smoke. I tried smoking for the first time when I was in the second grade of junior high school. My friends and I tried a cigarette together, not because we wanted to know what they tasted like, but because a friend of mine said that you could find out the family name of your future husband by looking at the tip of the cigarette. At first, we all thought it was crazy, but we thought there was no harm in trying. In North Korea, minors are allowed to purchase cigarettes and booze from a store. We ran straight to a nearby store and bought a pack of cigarettes. As my friend smoked down a cigarette, we all stared at the tip of the burnt-down cigarette. It looked like a letter of the Korean alphabet. We became so thrilled that we took turns reading it one by one. My friends excitedly said, 'Oh, my future husband is Lee. Mine is Kim.' I still vividly remember my friends excitedly talking about their future husbands over burnt-down cigarettes." The editor of this piece in Ask a North Korean, the feature of nknews.org, notes that North Korea recently has appeared to be stepping up its anti-smoking campaigns, including nicotine patches and launching a nationwide anti-tobacco campaign. One has to wonder about the efficacy of this campaign when they are constantly seeing their leader, Kim Jong-un, puffing away on cigarettes. You might have noticed that with both of these cultural phenomena, the wearing of high heels, especially stilettos, and smoking among women, younger women in North Korea, that there was a change around the mid-2000s. And this is not a coincidence. This is just about the time that, as I mentioned before, South Korean media began to be more accessible in North Korea. Not that it was being accessed legally, of course, but due to the changes in technology and the increasing availability of USB drives, as opposed to video cassettes or CDs and DVDs, quantities of South Korean media was reaching North Koreans across the Chinese border. It's interesting to reflect on the fact that smuggled media from the outside world in North Korea that made a difference, or that is beginning to make a difference, is not about the superiority of other political systems or documentaries about life in the United States or other Western countries or even South Korea. What's really having an impact on the people there are soap operas, dramas about life in South Korea and elsewhere. These are the things making a difference in North Korean hairstyles, fashion, smoking practices, and several of the other things we'll be talking about in future episodes of Window on North Korea. Although you might think that this is not the message we wish they were getting from the outside world, they are also getting a picture of the outside world that they had no conception of in their upbringing in North Korea. And this is making a difference, especially to a younger generation. An excellent way to learn how the exposure to this media has impacted a younger generation, and also how that generation has had access to resources to avail themselves of some of these goods being smuggled from China, is a very new documentary called The Jangmadang Generation. Jangmadang means market or marketplace, not in the sense of the stock market, but in a like a street market, sometimes black market. And again, the documentary is titled Jangmadang Generation. This documentary can be accessed through the Washington Post website. Jangmadang is spelled J-A-N-G-M-A-D-A-N-G, The Jangmadang Generation. And it consists of interviews with several North Korean defectors of a young adult generation, for the most part. And they tell their stories about how they came to decide to defect from North Korea, the influence of media on these decisions, and many other really interesting facets of their experience. I recommend that you watch it if you have an interest. It's about 54 minutes long. The sources for the information about the attraction to high heels and the practice of smoking among women in North Korea came from the Ask a North Korean feature of the nknews.org website. In the next episode of Window on North Korea, we'll talk about what it means to be cool in North Korea and also whether people think about an afterlife there. I will also include some short summaries of stories from the dailynk.com website. Thank you for listening to Window on North Korea. It airs most Saturdays on KTWH at 10 a.m.